Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Hi, everyone. It is Wednesday, July 9th, around midday here in Central Texas. And I thought I would just jump on for a brief update. It feels like a good time to catch our breath a little bit, still covering this emerging story in Central Texas. And I say emerging because it's still very much developing in the wake of this historic flood in Kerr County and beyond. Today, what I'd like to do is take some of the key sound bites that we've heard over the last 24 hours and just highlight them for you. You know, in typical traditional media where I used to work for a long time, you could run a sound bite that was as short as just a few seconds to maybe 30, 45 seconds. And then anything longer than that was considered too long, too much for regular television, too much to be a waste of time for your audience. And I'm so glad we don't have the same restrictions in how we're delivering news today, because I have a few sound bites here that we're going to need to play and sit with for a little bit. And this is something that is unique to the format that we're able to broadcast on. And I'm so grateful for it in a situation like the one we're in, where the 24-hour news cycle or these quick, you know, sort of sound bites that you're seeing just at times can feel very disrespectful to the story that we're covering. And I was thinking about this story, and we were talking about it along with my colleagues at Smarter News, about why this story feels different. You know, we've covered so many different, quite frankly, terrible stories in the news over the last several years of Smarter News. We've covered a lot of really bad storms, including the ones just late last year in North Carolina and in Florida. And so how does this compare? And how does our coverage now compare to the coverage in the past in different news cycles? And are we doing the right things? Are we making the right choices? And I came to sort of this realization about this story that makes it very, very different. And it's part of the reason why so many of us feel connected to it, even if we're not in the state of Texas. You know, one of the reasons why this story has been elevated to such a national and international story is because of the loss of life, the significant loss of life, and specifically the significant loss of life when it comes to children. You know, at our numbers that we have right now, and we know that the numbers will continue to grow, we're already at 36 children who have lost their lives. And this is a very dark statistic to mention to you, but I do think this context is helpful in understanding why this story feels so different. And there's a lot of reasons for it, but the loss of life for children is one. You know, when we're looking at some of the worst stories that we've covered where children have been killed or injured, a lot of times we're focused on school shootings. Well, at our statistics right now, again, just for context, the amount of life, the number of children that were killed in this flood is nearly double that of the highest school shooting in American history. A very tough statistic to sit with, but important to try to quantify what feels so difficult to articulate, the loss of life and what that means and the grief that the community feels, not just here in Texas, but the grief that I know so many of you also feel. And sometimes you don't get that same feeling despite how terrible some of these other stories are, but this story does feel different. And this is one of the reasons why. The other reason why this story is also being elevated has a lot to do with the area. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that as well. The area is acute, meaning it's finite. compared to like a hurricane that goes through a huge swath of the state, we're at a very focused area where there was intense destruction and loss of life. And that allows the media as well to concentrate their efforts. So you're having a lot of focus in one area of the country. And in some ways, that's elevating the story further because it's not all spread out across such a huge, huge area. Again, I'm going to go back to the maps and I'm going to show you that. For those of you listening on podcasts, I'll explain it. And then the final reason why I think this story also has again been elevated to the level that has been elevated, it's the whole story arc. It's not just about this terrible historic flood, and we have all different ways to show the historic nature of it. It's also because it happened on July 4th, the national holiday, and the juxtaposition of this amazing place where a lot of people go for vacation turning into such a terrifying place is also a key part, a key characteristic of this story. So there's a lot of different angles to it. There's a lot of different angles that are very, quite frankly, terrifying and dark and very difficult to navigate. And so that's, again, why I wanted to kind of step in here midweek and say, okay, there's a lot coming at you. Here's what I see as like three really key sound bites plus a bonus one that I want to share with you that I think could be helpful as we try to wrap our heads around something that's very difficult to do. You know, very, very difficult to do. In case you're not from the area of Texas, I just want to show you a few things. One of the expressions for this area that where the flood took place is called Flash Flood Alley. But Flash Flood Alley is not just in Central Texas. There's actually a swath, like a ribbon that goes through Texas. And if you're imagining a map for a moment, you have the Gulf and then you have inland in the United States. So you have the Gulf, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America. I'm looking at a map that has both names. You choose it. The bottom line is it's a Gulf. And because of that, you're getting a lot of moisture and humidity and rain and tropical weather. As you're moving across Texas, though, and getting more towards the central United States, we know that it gets drier. The temperatures change. The elements change. And so when you see these sort of diametrically opposed weather patterns merge in this area, it creates a space where there can be a lot of moisture sort of trapped here. It gets stopped as it's moving across the state. So this leads to really elevated rainfall in this particular area. And that's one of the things that we've seen. But the swath of a flash flood alley goes, you know, all the way from West Texas up to the north through Dallas. So it's a big, big swath of land. And I think that's something really important to know. Also a component to Flash Flood Alley is that you're talking about a part of Texas, specifically in central Texas as well. You have the high rainfall, you have limestone. So if you come to Texas, you're going to see a lot of homes that use limestone. It's kind of this stone that can be white, it can be a little bit brown, it can be a little bit orange. It's used in architecture because it's all over the place. But when it comes to the creeks and the rivers, it's part of the reason why they're so blue and so beautiful and so clear. But this is very rocky. It's a very rocky part of the state. So there's not a lot of soil to absorb the heavy rainfall, which again is very characteristic of this particular swath of land. So then you have that dynamic. And finally, in Flash Flood Alley, the other thing you have in certain areas is when we call it the hill country in Texas, it's because there's hills. Along the way of the rivers, though, there can be really steep inclines suddenly. So it can create almost an alley effect along the rivers, depending on where you are. Not everywhere, but these are some of the elements that are included here. I want to show you also a map that zoomed in of the Kerrville area. You're hearing this. Again, if you're from outside the state, Kerrville, Hunt, Ingram, what are all these places? Let's just describe it and set it on a map. So if I'm looking at a map of Texas and I'm zoomed in on the area most affected by this flood, you have Kerrville, which is probably the largest sort of, I would say a city, but a town, but it's a big area. It's not like a super rural. I mean, there's a huge Walmart, there's huge grocery stores, there's restaurants, you know, there's a lot of resources there. It also is a tourist destination as well. But it's a fairly populated area. And then if I move from my right to my left, I'm going to hit Ingram and Hunt. These are smaller communities. If I move even further to my left, I'm going to get to where the camps are, like Camp Mystic. Even further is the origin of the Guadalupe River. So let's take it from a different perspective. If I'm looking at the state of Texas, I'm going to read left to right. If I'm looking at this area, on the left, I'm going to get the origin of the Guadalupe River. Then I'm going to hit all these camps. And there's a river fork. So you have two kind of streams that are feeding into the Guadalupe. So we have the source of the Guadalupe River. We have the camps. then we have Hunt, then we have Ingram, then we have Kerrville. The reason why this is really important is I keep on talking about a flood gauge. I've showed you that earlier in the week. I've also covered it on social media. The river gauge is measuring the height of the river. Where the river gauge is in the Guadalupe is very close to Kerrville, so not in the area where we're really seeing the most devastating flooding. And that's something to keep in mind. Again, going back to the flood gauge, I showed you this graphic before and we toggled along to see just how quickly the water rose. And what you're seeing on your screen, for those of you who are listening, is you're seeing a 6 foot tall man in relation to the flood gauge. And it's an image that I've said this before, you know, it can take your breath away, but this in particular does, because you can just see, you could see five times that man gets to the height that it's believed that the river reached, which is right around 35 feet, a historic height in a very, very short period of time. Again, this is all giving us perspective on something that's hard to gain perspective, because we know each loss of life is such a huge loss. And how again, can we wrap our heads, can we wrap our hands around this story? So one of the ways that the press has attempted to continue to report out this story is focused on the preparation. And as I've talked to you about, you know, the preparation for flood warnings and flood evacuations is a really important question, but consistently officials have been answering the same way, and we're not getting a whole lot of information. I'm going to play a little bit from the local sheriff and what he just said today. I thought it was particularly poignant and sort of summed up everything that we're hearing. But before I get to that, I want to play the first soundbite that I think is important for you to hear. And this is from Governor Abbott, who was out in Hunt, again, one of the areas that was most hit by this flood, and he was speaking on Tuesday. So let's go ahead and take a listen to him.
The state was aware that there was a possible serious flooding event days in advance, and we pre-positioned assets and resources and personnel. And remember, the flood began on Friday morning. We originally positioned those assets, resources, and personnel on Wednesday. Then when greater clarity was discerned on Thursday, we moved them closer, added, and made sure that we had adequate supply going into Friday. So we were ready with the resources on the ground to be able to quickly respond. Some people say, well, we responded so fast. One reason we did respond fast is because we had assets here already. That said, we didn't know the magnitude of the storm. We knew that there was a flash flood warning. And if you heard a flash flood warning, no one would know that that would be a 30-foot high tsunami wall of water, I don't think. But all I can tell you is the information we had, the state had, and that we acted on, was information that catalyzed us to begin putting assets and resources in place 2 days before the event happened.
The reason why I think it's really important for you to hear this is it is consistent with what I also heard on the ground from those first involved in the search, rescue, and recovery efforts. They said that they were given a heads up about 24 hours ahead of mobilizing to this area that there was a flood watch, that there's concern about rising water. Again, in Flash Flood Alley, this is not necessarily unusual. And just because you're given a heads up that you may mobilize, you have a 50-50 chance. You could be barbecuing with your family on July 4th or responding to a flood. There's no way of telling what actually could happen. And so what Governor Abbott said there, again, is consistent with what I've learned in my reporting as well. Yes, the state had some assets. They were already mobilizing it, but whether or not they were going to use those assets was to be determined. And unfortunately, we had this sort of event where these assets were used, and thankfully, they were spun up already. There was some preparation that was leading them to be at least ready to respond to this particular area of the state. Now, local officials continue to be asked about this as well, about their preparation and response and evacuation. And you're going to hear a little bit from a member of the police department in a moment. I do want to play some sound from the sheriff here. It's a Kerrville sheriff, Larry Letha. And he's been speaking consistently every single press conference. He's been handling this question a lot, but the way he answered it today, I thought was notable. And I want you to take a listen to, again, this question about preparation, early warnings, and what the community could have done better.
It's going to be an after action. Please, y'all, listen to those words. After action, okay. Those questions are going to be answered. I believe those questions need to be answered to the family of the missed loved ones, to the public. You know, to the people that put me in this office, those need to be, and I want that answer, and we're going to get that answer. And I know that's going to be asked over and over. Please understand that. You know, we're not running, we're not going to hide from anything. That's going to be checked into at a later time. I wish I could tell you that time. I don't know that time. Let me share something with y'all. One of the main things I've been doing is going and visiting the family. We still have some of those missed loved ones here. I go visit them twice a day. You know, as a sheriff, you know what? What I want is I want closure for those people, okay? And those are important questions. Those are, we will answer those questions. I wish y'all would bear with me in that, okay? Bear with me. We'll get them. I can't tell you in a week or two, okay? We're going to get them. I'm not trying to deflect them, okay? My primary, I ask you, I've been in this business 36 years. I don't know if any of y'all, how many of y'all have gave notifications. Death notifications. I've done them. What is worse, a death notification or telling somebody I don't know where your loved one was? That's my priority, okay? Now, please understand that.
So the sheriff sharing something more personal.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
They're talking about his past and how long he's worked in law enforcement. And because this is a consistent answer, I want you to hear it again. This is the way that local officials are answering this question. They are consistently saying that they will look back on what could have been done better, but that they're handling a lot of emergencies right now in front of them, and they're trying their best to stay focused on that. The press continues to really go back to this question. And I mentioned to some of you, we may have seen on social media, I was talking a little bit about it yesterday. There's a point as a journalist that you have to then pivot. Once you're getting the same answer for a few days, then you have to think about, well, how do we further report out this story and not ask the same question over and over again, because we're not getting anything new. And it's not that we shouldn't ask that question. It's an important question. But the reason why this soundbite is important is that it brings us back to the focus. The story is developing still. We still don't have accurate numbers of missing or those that have passed. And again, when I started off this podcast and I was telling you about some context for some of the numbers of loss of life, you know, I'm not doing that to diminish some of the other terrible, truly terrible stories that we've covered in the past. But I had a friend just this morning say to me, I don't understand. Every time my mind wanders, it goes back to this story. And there's a lot of reason for that, because of the many angles of this, and the loss of life truly is one of them. So again, we don't want to diminish anything that we've seen in the past, but this story is unique for many different reasons. If we're looking forward though, and we're wondering about solutions, because we are in hurricane season and we do expect more storms, if not flash flood alley and other parts of the country, what about forecasting? What about emergency alerts? How can we learn from this? Well, just by chance, by coincidence right now, we have the nominee for NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association. That is the big umbrella organization where the National Weather Service is under. And the man that's the nominee to lead NOAA is Neil Jacobs, and he's testifying in front of the Senate today. Senator Capito from West Virginia is questioning him. You're going to hear from this in a moment. And you know, it's interesting. We had all of the flurry of activity on Capitol Hill, so much focus on the big, beautiful bill. I mean, think about how many times you heard about that this week. Hardly at all, right? We had all of this concentration in politics. And really this week, we don't necessarily have that just naturally in the news cycle. And, you know, a testimony like this, a hearing like this could just sort of drift by, but not this week, because there's a lot of questions for this individual. And so here's Senator Capito asking him one on Capitol Hill today.
To the storms in Texas and the weather predicting, and obviously I live in an area that is prone to rapid flooding like that, but the tragedy that we see in Texas, like nothing that I can, it's unimaginable for many of us. I think a lot of it, and I think it's all the aftermath of community engagement, community warning systems. How can that be improved? How can, and I know not necessarily in that specific area, simply because it's probably too early to assess that, but generally speaking, there's still gaps, and I think, I'm sure this is something that you think about. You shared with me that you have a 9-year-old and 11-year-old daughter, I believe, so you're feeling this as well. Do you have any comments on that?
So coming from a background of numerical weather prediction, I always thought naively that if I could improve the forecast skill, I would save more lives. And it turns out that it's really the last mile. Even if you have a perfect forecast, if you can't get the information to the people, it's totally useless. And so having a way to distribute the watches and warnings, and particularly in regions that don't have good cell coverage,
right,
I think there's an opportunity to modernize NOAA weather radio and then potentially also look at some satellite capabilities, some CubeSat-based data transmission. That wasn't really an option a couple of years ago. And so I think probably an all-the-above approach and modernizing the way to distribute these watches and warnings is something that is going to be a top priority of mine.
Thank you.
The reason why I thought this soundbite was critical for you to hear again is because it emphasizes something that we heard in our additional reporting earlier in the week by an eyewitness of the flood, Julia Hatfield. And if you haven't listened to that interview, definitely worth a listen because it really provides insight into how quickly the waters rose and just, I'm overusing this word terrifying, but just gives you such an insight into sort of this unbelievably horrific event that happened to so many families. One of the things that she says is, yes, I did see a flood alert on my phone, but I get those all the time. It didn't tell me to evacuate. It didn't tell me anything different. So I went back to sleep. And what he's speaking about here is a question about communication, isn't it? What are the words that we can use? We can alert the public to anything, but to get the public to do something is completely different. So what about that last mile? If the alerts are there, if the forecast is there, if the warnings are there, and yet we still can't predict the future, so you don't know what's going to happen, what is the language that we can use to alert people to make decisions early, you know, better safe than sorry, or to immediately get them up and moving? So that's part of the story that we'll continue to watch. All right. I'm getting now to this bonus soundbite, and I think this is just one of the most important several minutes you can spend this week if you are interested in this story at all. This man's name is Jonathan Lamb. He is the community service officer for Kerrville Police, and he's come up periodically in the week in press conferences, but this is the most that I've seen him talk. And the reason why this is important is because of balance. One of the things that we're always looking at Smarter News as a nonpartisan news source, no political agenda, we want to show you multiple sides, is we want balance as much as possible. And yes, there has been rightfully a focus on the loss of life this week with the floods and a focus on all the things that we just mentioned. You know, why did this happen? How can we do better? What about all, you know, all of these different things that hopefully, you know, someday could be prevented? How did this take place? The reason why these 6 minutes, and I'm just going to let it play to the end of the podcast, so you could, you know, I just want you to hear him talk. I'm not going to add anything after it. I just want to give it to you to reflect on, is he's talking about the rescues. And ironically, I woke up this morning thinking about that because many of you have expressed that, listen, I'd love to hear some of the stories of the people that got rescued. And it is important in a story that's as dark as this one is to also balance it with some light, which is that there were so many heroic actions and so many people were saved. They were rescued in really tenuous situations. You know, if you've been rescued and you're out of it, you don't get, we have to wait for them, these people to come and tell their stories because they're not the priority. But hundreds of people were saved and many of them came extraordinarily close to death. And so I want to make sure that you have this mixed into your news coverage too. We're going to focus on the priority, loss of life. We're going to focus on the details of the story, but we don't want to forget this part of the story too. And for balance, it's important that you hear both. So he describes a couple of things. Just want to give you a heads up on a few things. He describes the terrain. Listen very carefully to that. even as someone that lives in Texas, it was really important for me to hear. Listen to the tools that were used and listen for the evacuations that did take place that we haven't heard a lot about. This is important. Again, Kerrville Community Service Officer Jonathan Lamb, and I'll see you with more on smarternews.com. Have a great day, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
I want to talk a little bit about the events that happened on the morning of July 4th, what the Kerrville Police Department and other first responders were doing in those early morning hours. And I want to start outside of Kerrville, out in Hunt. Now, for those of you who went out there yesterday with the governor, y'all know that Highway 39 crisscrosses the Guadalupe again and again and again. And all of those low water crossings, when they flood, they create islands where you can't get in and you can't get out, trapping people in their homes, trapping people in vehicles. And that's what happened on the morning of July 4th. One of our patrol sergeants lives out there in Hunt. And he got up, he got ready to go to work. And he realized when he hit the intersection of FM 1340 and Highway 39 that he was trapped on an island that was Hunt, Texas. And he saw people, dozens of people trapped on roofs. He saw people trapped in swift moving water. He gave them encouragement over his public address system in his vehicle. He told them to be strong, that he would get to them as quickly as he could, and to hang on. And he knew he needed help. He went to another detective, Kerrville Police Department detective who lives out there, and he woke him up, and he said, "It's bad. I need you to get your gear on and come find me." And then he went back out. And for 13 hours, those two officers, along with some Hunt volunteer fire department firefighters and an emergency room doctor, provided care to that Hunt community. When it was safe to do so, they waded into the water and they rescued people. They got people down off of roofs. They collected them there at the Hunt school. There was a young boy with a pretty severe leg injury that was given first aid treatment throughout the day. Other people came. Many of them were injured. They provided first aid. They coordinated helicopter evacuations for the most critically injured. Communicated the situation back to our emergency dispatch center at the Kerrville Police Department. When the waters began to recede, they knew that vehicles would be making their way out there when it was safe to do so. So they went back and forth, clearing out debris to clear a path for those vehicles. They saw helicopters flying back and forth, making recoveries upriver, evacuating those summer camps. And they were by themselves on that island that was Hunt, Texas, doing what they do, serving, protecting, and helping, until about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when other emergency workers in high-profile vehicles were able to get out there. And here in town, the early morning hours are still dark. Our officers realized that areas of town that traditionally don't flood were going to flood, and that low-lying areas close to the river were in danger. Our officers spent hours going back and forth. In that first hour, they evacuated over 100 homes and evacuated and rescued over 200 people. And to say that doesn't even come close to explaining the actions that took place. Door to door, waking people up, convincing them that yes, the floodwaters are coming and you need to leave now. They rescued people out of vehicles. They rescued people out of homes that were already flooding, pulling them out of windows. They entered water. There's a trailer park that flooded in minutes. One officer was there by himself, and he realized, I need help. He sounded his siren, driving up and down those streets that were beginning to flood, calling on his PA system for folks to wake up and evacuate. And then two other officers joined him through first thigh-deep, then waist-deep, then chest-deep water as they went from RVs and trailers and rescued people, carrying them to safety through the water. Out on old FM 689, there were two people trapped in the water, clinging to a tree. Two officers were there when a third one drove up. And one of them was wrapping a 100-foot flex line garden hose around his waist to go into the water and rescue those people. And those three officers went into the water, and one of them held that hose and acted as an anchor while those other two made their way to those two victims, and they were able to evacuate them safely. Folks, I don't know how many lives our KPD team saved in an hour in Kerrville. But I know that this tragedy, as horrific as it is, could have been so much worse.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.